for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed say of the Lord, say so, those he redeemed from trouble, and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to an inhabited town. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way until they reached an inhabited town. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind, for he satisfies the thirsty, and the hungry he fills with good things. Reading from Luke 12, verse 13 to 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbiter over you?" And he said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God."
Thanks, Stephanie. So let's just take a few moments to pray before we start looking at this passage in a bit more detail. Lord, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for your word. We pray that we would all have open minds and hearts to hear from you. In your name, amen. So a few weeks ago, we thought about the gift of Sabbath and the gift that God had given us, allowing us to step away from busyness into rest and restoration. And this passage that Stephanie's just shared with us similarly offers us a gift, the encouragement to get off the hamster wheel of earning more and more money, having our lives dictated by what the world around us says about money, and considering the alternative, eternal gold that God has on offer for us. So much of what we see and hear every day tries to railroad us into believing that the more money we have, the happier we will be. Just like the man in the passage building his barns and storing up his wealth. We have more money, more property, more possessions. And this, the world tells us that this will allow us a life of freedom, status, and pleasure. In short, money can buy us anything that we want. Friends, beauty, power, and happiness. We see this on social media a lot. I don't know if you see people who just look like they're having the best time ever. They're like on their yacht, drinking some champagne, all these photographs. Or like in the media, we see people that have tons of money just looking like they're having the best time, living their best lives. Bearing all of that in mind, it's useful to reflect on thoughts from a few people who did have more money than they could ever have dreamed of. John Astor, the first multimillionaire in American history, wrote, "I am the most miserable man on earth." John D. Rockefeller said late in life, "I have made many millions, but they have brought me no happiness." And after all his commercial success with Ford Motors, Henry Ford said, "I was happier when I was a mechanic." So in these instances, money did not bring the happiness that it seemed to promise. So in the passage from Luke, Jesus is not saying that wealth in and of itself is a bad thing. He is saying that like the man who's building the barns, we need to be on our guard against greed and remind us that earthly treasure cannot be brought into heaven. So there is no eternal value in having a bulging bank account at Coutts. You cannot take that with you. Jesus is calling us to be rich towards God. He's asking us not to follow the prevailing culture around us, to amass as much wealth as possible, but to focus our lives on God. This includes making decisions about our money that line up with what God is prompting us to do. Are we looking for his guidance and how we use what we've got? Are we thinking about how we're using that to be a blessing to others, particularly those who have less than us? Are we thinking about all that God has given us as a gift from him and being prepared to hold it lightly, to give it back as he prompts us to, rather than storing it up for ourselves? If our thought life and our conversation, our time, our energy, and our focus is on money, this gets in the way of so many good things that God has for us. It can rob us of time, peace, relationships, and freedom. We can become trapped, constantly thinking about the money we've got, how we can get more, what we do with it, how our income compares with the people down the road who just had the extension done. We might spend more time at work. We might spend more time with our bank balance, how we manage that. Less time with the people that we love, damaging our relationships with friends and family. We might get to a point where we're not able to stop and rest and restore in the way we're called to. We aren't leaning on God for his provision. We're not trusting in him. We're trusting in ourselves and the wealth that we've accumulated. The gift that God offers us in this passage is a reminder that we don't need to be accumulating wealth. It's all fruitless and transitory. He's offering us a release from being on that hamster wheel of wanting more. So this morning, I would encourage all of us to consider how, rather than gathering more money, we can be rich towards God. The words that come at the very end of the passage. What does that look like in each of our lives? There might be areas of our lives that need to change in ways that seem a bit challenging. So there are things that we're doing or ways that we're behaving with our money that we might need to just reflect on and think about changing. This has been on my mind a lot in recent weeks. In less than a year, hopefully, I'll have completed all of my studying and I'll be moving into full-time ministry. So it'll be lots of changes for me. I'll be leaving my flat and the friends I have in Cricklewood, leaving St. Mary's and all the lovely people here, moving to somewhere completely new. And coming back to the money point, my income will drop because I'll be earning less in full-time ministry. I've had times in my life when I haven't had any money and I've been gathering together shrapnel from my waitressing tips to take to the bank, to put into my account, to try and cover bills that I've got. But God has always provided what I've needed at just the right time. A friend might repay me some money that I'd forgotten I'd lent them, or a belated birthday card arrives in the post with some cash inside. I know that what's ahead might be a challenge for me and I'll need to think about doing things a bit differently, but I also know that God will be with me and he'll give me everything that I need at the right moment. Not everyone is called into full-time ministry, but God does have a path and a plan for each one of us. A path that will lead us to eternal riches that he has. And he will give us provision and equip us for all that we need for that journey. Echoing some of Helen Kostick's language, God is calling us not to focus on having fat bank balances, but keeping our attention on developing fat hearts full of love for and trust in him. God has a calling provision for each person who's on this call and who listens to it afterwards. A plan that's specific for you, and the circumstances you're in, the gifts that he's given you, and everything will be provided that you need. The more we focus on giving back to God, whatever that looks like for each of us, the more we will find that eternal goals that God has for us. And that might be giving more to God's work through the church. It could be giving to others who need that support. Or it could be that God's just calling us to do something different with what we've got. It's really useful to have a regular check-in point to think about what we're doing with the money that we have. It might be that you want to build it in on a quarterly basis, or it might be something that you think about each month. But it's really healthy just to reflect on what we've got and what God's calling us to do with it. And the passage we have today offers us the freedom to do that without worrying about what the world is saying. We need to wake up and see through what social media says, what advertising says, and listen to what God is saying to us. So this summer Sabbath season is a really good opportunity to pause and consider where money features in our lives, where it might be more of a driver for our decisions and our behaviour than God's plan, knocking us off balance and distracting us. Could it be that our desire to earn more is getting in the way of what God's plan is? Are we being drawn into something that isn't for us? And this passage does offer us that gift, enabling us to take that step. God has so much more for us than anything the world can offer. And we need to listen to his prompting in all we do, including in relation to our money, and build that eternal treasure that he has in his plan for us. Treasure that won't perish or